We want to continue our discussion about the dateline. We called it the halachic dateline. And let's go over a little bit of the history here. And we're talking about the year 1941. Now in that year, because of the Nazi Holocaust, a number of Jews, yeshiva bachrim, for example, from the Mir Yeshiva and others, they find themselves running away from the Nazis, and they end up in Japan. And as we go along, we'll see that Japan is a real problem. Now, if we are discussing this very, very important episode, because it's this episode in the year 1941 that's going to eventually bring about the entire discussion of the halakhic dateline. So you want to open up to page 65 of this photocopied essay that I gave you from David Palmer on the international dateline and related issues. And on page 65, he tells you that this group, made up of hundreds of Talmidim from different European yeshivas, escaping Nazi persecution, they flee to the Far East. And there they were granted asylum. They stayed temporarily in Kobe, or Kobe, on the Japanese island of Honshu, and later they go to Shanghai. But during their stay, as short as it was, in Kobe, they had a serious suffix as to whether or not they had crossed the halachic dateline. It was a suffix in their minds. Now, if you take a look at this map, you will see that Japan is to the east of the Chazon Ish's dateline. They might not have known that at this time, but nevertheless, they thought that perhaps they were coming close to the halakhic dateline. Maybe they had actually crossed over towards the east of the halakhic dateline, which in fact is true if you hold like the Chazon Ish. They didn't know that. Again, the Chazon Ish's Sefer, his magnum opus on the dateline, which is Yud Ches Shos, that's going to come 4 years later in the year 1945. So now let's take a look at this map. Where is Japan? Japan is actually somewhere between, let's say, 134, 135 degrees longitude. Longitude is the imaginary line that takes you from the north to the south pole. And there they are at 100, let's call it 135 degrees. Shanghai, in all likelihood, again, it's not so clear from this map, is to the west of the Chazon Ish's line of 125 degrees. But now they're in Japan. Now, I have here a map here published in the Rosh Hashanah edition of the Schottenstein Shas, Rosh Hashanah in the back. He's got an appendix. We're looking at appendix number 2. And you'll see clearly that the country of Japan is to the east of the Chazon Ish's dateline. In fact, let's see where the international dateline, which is that broken line, that's to the west. I mean, the dateline is to the east, but I mean to say Japan is to the west of the dateline. Now, in fact, in map number 2, which we'll get to in just a second, we'll see that Japan is actually to the west of the halachic dateline, not just the international dateline. But if we go to Chazon Ish, then we surely have a serious issue here, because Japan is to the east of the Chazon Ish's line of 125 degrees. Now, what happens is that they send, this group of Talmidim send telegrams to the Gedolim in both Europe and Eretz Yisrael asking for advice. If they had indeed crossed over to the eastern side of the halachic dateline, then, as we'll soon explain, Sunday is actually Shabbos. I think. Let's see if we can make sense out of that. Okay, we'll have to see if we can do this. In any event, we'll come back to that in just a minute, hopefully. But now we have a suffix if they cross the halachic dateline. So they begin to observe 2 days of Shabbos. That could hardly continue. In fact, there's an interesting story, because about 50 Talmidim from the Mir Yeshiva were prepared to travel to Canada. Now, I don't know, Canada was notorious for not allowing Jews in, but in any event, maybe at that point, for some reason, they were allowed in. But they realized that their ship would cross the dateline on Yom Kippur, which would require them to fast 2 consecutive days. So as a result, they chose to wait for the next available ship. The Second War broke out in such a way between Japan and the United States, blocking any passage between where they were and the Americas. They were forced to wait out the entire war until 1946. So this whole issue about waiting out because you don't know which day is Shabbos, which day is Yom Kippur, is a very serious one. Now, what's going to happen here is that in 1941, Rabbi Herzog, who's the chief rabbi of Palestine at that time, this is after Rav Kook, before the state, obviously, at the beginning of the Holocaust, he convenes a kenes, so to speak, in his home of Rabbonim. Now, at that kenes, Rabbi Yechiel Michel Tukhachinsky was present, and he places, and we'll see the logic behind this, the halachic dateline at 145 degrees west longitude, which is 180 degrees to the east of Yerushalayim, halfway around the world. Therefore, Japan falls to the west of the international dateline. They had not, according to Kaczynski, they had not crossed the international dateline. So Saturday is Shabbos, and therefore there's no problem. Now, Rabbi Tukhachinsky, who was present at that meeting, he presented his thesis with his proofs and his arguments, and he convinced the other Rabbonim at that kenes, and they sent a telegram to Japan advising them to keep Shabbos on Saturday. His opinion, Rabbi Tukhachinsky, is largely based on the understanding of the Yisod Olam and other Rishonim. Again, this would seem to contradict the Baal HaMor, which is the basis for the Chazon Ish's conclusion that the dateline is at 125 degrees longitude. But we'll get back to the Baal HaMor a little bit later. Now, if the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah is not an authoritative source, because according to Rav Tukhachinsky, it doesn't relate to this issue at all, then we have to go back to a statement in the Gemara that Eretz Yisrael, this is the Gemara in Sanhedrin on Daf Lamed Zayin, based on a pasuk in Yechezkel Perek Lamed Ches, that Eretz Yisrael is Tabur Haaretz, it's the center of the world. If it's the center of the world, then we're going to put Eretz Yisrael in the center. You're going to have 180 degrees to the right, 180 degrees to the left. And this was the position of Rav Tukhachinsky. The Rabbanim accepted it in the year 1941. The telegrams went out, and the students were told that they should consider themselves still west of the halachic date line, because they were west of Rav Tukhachinsky's 145 degrees. As we said before, they were only 135 degrees. Therefore, Saturday is Shabbos in Kobe in Japan. That's Rav Tukhachinsky. Now, what I'd like to discuss with you today is the Chazon Ish, because the Chazon Ish claims that he has a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, that's on Daf Chaf Amid Beis, and that Rosh Hashanah Gemara, based on the Baal HaMor's interpretation, is going to give us the answer to the question as to where the halachic dateline is. Now again, we still have to answer the question, why do we need a halachic dateline? Why not just simply assume that every place on the globe will celebrate Shabbos 7 days on the seventh day with sunset of the seventh day? I mean, why do we need, you know, to jump over and either if we're going from, let's say, east to west, we're going behind, we're going, if we're going from east to west, then we're ahead, and if we go from west to east, we're behind. Again, all that we'll have to clarify in just a minute, but where is the Chazon Ish coming from? What was this Baal HaMor about? So let's understand that the sugya in Rosh Hashanah is going to address, according to the Baal HaMor, we will read the statement of Rav Zera, Tzarech shehei laila v'yom min hachodesh. He's talking about the molad. This is back in the day when they received and relied upon two witnesses who saw the new moon to establish Rosh Chodesh, and there were two choices: whether the very day that the moon was seen, that day could be declared Rosh Chodesh, or did they have to? It was too late in the day to declare Rosh Chodesh. They would have to delay, postpone Rosh Chodesh by one day. Hence, tomorrow would be Rosh Chodesh. And Rabbi Zera makes the statement that it's absolutely necessary that the night and the day be part of the same month. So we're talking about a fixed calendar. So for example, nowadays Sanhedrin will base themselves on a fixed calendar. Let's try to understand this. The generally accepted rule of the calendar is that Rosh Hashanah, you'll see it inside here, cannot fall on a day in which the molad falls after midday. So if the molad was only seen after 12 noon, then we're going to postpone Rosh Chodesh for another day. That day can no longer be Rosh Chodesh. If the molad, on the other hand, was spotted before midday, before noon, then we can establish that day itself as Rosh Chodesh. And the Rishonim give different reasons, but the Baal HaMor's reason, which is most relevant to us, is that we need a whole day, al pidin, a whole legal day, meaning from sunset to sunset, where there should be a day of Rosh Chodesh somewhere in the world. That the whole day will be Rosh Chodesh somewhere in the world. And that becomes impossible if the molad was in Yerushalayim after noon, but it was possible if it was there before noon. So again, the new moon has to be visible somewhere on the day as the day begins, so the entire day somewhere on the face of the earth will be declared as Rosh Chodesh, so that both the night and the day will be part of the same month. That's Rabbi Zeira. So let's try to explain. Now we know that in every location the time of the day is different at any given moment. So for example, if I want to give a simple example from the United States, if in New York it is let's say 12 midnight, then in Chicago it's going to be 11 p.m. and in Denver it'll be 10 p.m. and in L.A. it'll be 9 p.m. and it goes by and by. You get to Hawaii and so forth much, much earlier. So basically, when it is daybreak in one place, it may be already noontime in another place. You know, if they're far enough away from each other. Let's say they're 180 degrees away from each other. So it became daybreak in one place, and it is, let's say, nighttime in another place. And in between the two, let's say at 90 degrees, it's noontime. So, you know, the sun rises and sets in easterly locations earlier than in westerly locations. So as long as we're traveling to the west, the sun is setting later. If we travel to the east, then the sun is setting much earlier. So let's take Yerushalayim as an example. Let's say it's Sunday noon in Yerushalayim. If you go east, let's say towards India, for example, it's late afternoon. So the day itself cannot be established 24 hours of Rosh Chodesh. But if you go to the west, let's say towards Europe from Yerushalayim, then say for example you get to England, it's 10 o'clock in the morning. It's 2 hours earlier than noon. If you go even further west, let's say you get to New York, it's 7 hours earlier, and it's before daybreak on Sunday morning. However, we need for the Molad not just the morning, we need the night before that. So we have to travel even further to the west. Okay, so again, if you're talking about the time of the day, looking at your clock, wherever you are, it depends upon sunrise, sunset in that location. When we get to the Molad, what we need is that the Molad should fall, let's say if it would fall earlier nightfall, okay, let's say the night of Monday in Yerushalayim, so that would mean that the entire day could be Rosh Chodesh. What happens when we add another 12 hours, right? So it's now noontime. So in that case, if it's past noon, you won't be able to establish that day as Rosh Chodesh, because in Yerushalayim, for example, you'll only get half the day after the Molad, which is not enough. But if we can ascertain that somewhere in the world, there is, if we move, let's say, towards the west, even though in Yerushalayim it's already noon, but somewhere in the west it is a full, let's say how many hours we would need now, let's just calculate it, we would need 12 hours at night plus the 6 hours of day until noon, we would need 18 hours. So we would need to go 18 hours earlier in the day. And if we move towards the east, as we said, it gets earlier and earlier, right? London is 2 hours earlier than Yerushalayim. New York is 7 hours earlier than Yerushalayim. California is 10 hours than Yerushalayim. We can keep going west and it gets earlier and earlier. So the day hasn't begun yet at a certain point. Again, the globe itself is round, right? It's completely circular. And it consists of, let's say, 24 hours going around, but there's 360 degrees. So every 24 hours, the sun travels around 360 degrees, which is, if you divide it by 24 into 360, you'll end up with 15 degrees per hour. So if you have a location, for example, that's 15 degrees to the west of Yerushalayim, their sunset will be 1 hour later than Yerushalayim. Let's say you go 30 degrees to the west, it'll be 2 hours later that the sun will sunset. It's 2 hours earlier in London. Now, at a location 15 degrees east of Yerushalayim, sunset is going to occur earlier. And 30 degrees, not an hour earlier, but 2 hours earlier, and so forth and so on. Now, the earth is round. So one could continue either westward or eastward, and he can continuously make a complete cycle or a circle around the earth. So we have to decide at what point does the west end and the east begins. For example, if we start at Yerushalayim and we start going to the west, right, we can go around the world let's say we turn 180 degrees west of Yerushalayim. In such a case, the latest sunset will occur 12 hours before sunset in Yerushalayim. Well, that's not good enough for us, because then you've cut out 6 hours of the night, if you follow me. Because then, if you find the molad at a minute before 12 noon in Yerushalayim, then 12 hours earlier, you're at midnight. And halachic night starts with sunset. So the Baal HaMor is going to say the following: that the latest sunset in the world is going to occur 18 hours after the sunset of Yerushalayim, meaning at the location which is 270 degrees to the west of Yerushalayim. That is the westernmost point in the world, so to speak. Now, if you'd go further west, it's true that the sun sets even later, but those places belong to the east, which means they don't belong to that calendar date. They belong to the next date. So, for example, if sunset occurs on a Monday evening in Yerushalayim, if you go westward, then sunset will occur progressively later and later and later, because the day is earlier and earlier as you go towards the west. Once you reach 270 degrees to the west, then Monday evening sunset is going to occur 18 hours later than it is in Yerushalayim. So if you're at the point 270 degrees to the west, then you are 18 hours earlier than sunset in Yerushalayim. And again, even though when you proceed further westward, sunset is even later and it's even earlier, but it's no longer Monday. We've already crossed over to the east of Yerushalayim. We're experiencing the sunset of Tuesday, not of Monday. So the westernmost point is 18 hours before Yerushalayim. When it's noontime in Yerushalayim and the sun is the sun is at its zenith in Yerushalayim, then at this location, 18 hours to the west of Yerushalayim, the sun is just setting, because it's 18 hours earlier. So you're at sunset. You follow me? If you go 18 hours earlier than noon, you'll end up at sunset. And that's at the westernmost location, which is 270 degrees to the west. Now, if in Yerushalayim it's 12 noon, and at this point 270 degrees to the west it is sunset, then you're about to enter into a new halachic day at that location 270 degrees to the west. You're about to enter into Monday. And now the entire day could be declared as Rosh Chodesh, because the Molad is seen before Monday begins. You have the entire Monday as Rosh Chodesh. So as long as the Molad falls before sunset somewhere in the world, it cannot be that it's after midday in Yerushalayim. That's the premise of the Gemara. Because if it's more than 18 hours to the west, you're already in the east. You're not in Monday, but rather you're in Tuesday. And that's going to be the Baal HaMor. We really begin to understand why we need a halachic date line. Because if you take any point on the earth at a specific time, let's say, for example, we're going to call it Sunday at noon, when the sun is at its zenith, then as soon as you proceed westward from that point, then Sunday noon progressively will get later and later, right, as the clock gets earlier and earlier. When you get halfway around the world at 180 degrees, then Sunday noon will occur 12 hours later than it did in Yerushalayim, let's say wherever your starting point was. On the other hand, if you proceed towards the east from that, for that takeoff point, we'll call it Yerushalayim, then Sunday noon is going to occur progressively earlier and earlier. When you get halfway around the world, 180 degrees, Sunday noon occurs 12 hours earlier than it did at Yerushalayim at the starting point. So whereas if you went west, it's 12 hours later. If you went east, it's 12 hours earlier. So now the difference in time between these two, we'll call them halfway points, is a total of 24 hours. Now the world is round. So the two halfway points coincide, because when you continuously go around the world, you'll end up in the same place. So we have a paradox that it's the same time of the day, which we'll call it noon, but it's occurring at some point both a day earlier and a day later. So we have to draw some sort of demarcation line somewhere, in which we'll say that east of that line belongs to the day earlier and west belongs to the day before. And the location of this line, this imaginary line, is called the date line. And this has, as we said before, tremendous halachic significance. Not the least of this is the Shmir Shabbos. Now, although by international agreement, the lines of longitude start at Greenwich in London, England, and the international line is fixed at 180 degrees to the east of Greenwich, England, which is a line that runs, as we said before, north to south, from North Pole to the South Pole, goes through the Pacific Ocean. And by convention, they made it such that it deviates slightly to accommodate, you know, land masses, so to avoid this very strange situation where a single place could be divided into two different days. So for example, in Siberia, they move it to the east. That's to the Bering Straits, or strait that divides Siberia from Alaska. Now, the arbitrary decision of the nations of the world has no halachic significance, and it's certainly not binding al pi halacha. Then we have to ask ourselves, where is the halachic date line? And now we see from the Baal HaMaor, and that's what the Chazon Ish is going to base himself on, that the earliest time in the world that a day in the week begins is 6 hours before that of Yerushalayim. The latest time is 18 hours after Yerushalayim. So therefore we understand from the Baal HaMaor that the date line is situated 90 degrees to the east of Yerushalayim, which is 270 degrees west of Yerushalayim. Any place within 90 degrees east of Yerushalayim, at that place, the day precedes that of Yerushalayim. It's just earlier, but it's the same day. And any place 270 degrees west of Yerushalayim, once you cross the 270 degree line, the day is one day later than it is in Yerushalayim. Now, I'll just read to you a footnote here that I found in the Art Scroll. It's footnote number 6. He writes, the Rishonim consider the Eurasian landmass as the main continent of the world. Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim were regarded as the center of the world's landmass. This idea finds expression in the verse in Yechezkel, Lamed Ches, Yoshvei al Tabur Haaretz, dwelling on the navel of the land. Just as the navel is situated in the center of the body, Eretz Yisrael is in the center of the world. Now, with Yerushalayim as its center, the whole continent extends to approximately 90 degrees east of Yerushalayim. So the Baal HaMaor, when he refers to 90 degrees east of Yerushalayim, he calls it Tchilas HaYishuv. It's the beginning of the inhabitation. And that's going to be the earliest time that we can count sunset and the beginning of a new day. So according to the Baal HaMaor's understanding, our Gemara in Rosh Hashanah is the only source in the Talmud that has any bearing on the subject of the date line. This date line, which we call the meridian up and down of 90 degrees east of Yerushalayim, 125 degrees east of Greenwich, runs through Siberia. It runs through parts of the Philippines, Indonesia, and parts of Australia, the western part of Australia. On the other hand, Shanghai and Hong Kong are west of the dateline. Japan is clearly to the east of the dateline. So Japan is going to observe Shabbos as you would observe Shabbos in the Western Hemisphere, which is a day later than you would observe Shabbos in Shanghai. So if you're going from Shanghai to Japan, which is not a long distance, then you're crossing over the 90 degree, or shall we call it 125 degree longitude dateline of the Chazon Ish. Now, if in Japan, once you cross from Shanghai to the east into Japan, is in the east, that means you've crossed over the dateline, then what's going to happen is that Japan is going to observe Shabbos a day later than Shanghai, which is really, really amazing. You follow, they're a day later, they're behind. Why? Because they've crossed the dateline over to the east. It means that if they're behind, then Sunday is really Shabbos. And my mechutin, Rav Flegg, when he was in Japan, he would observe to some extent Shabbos on Sunday, not just on Saturday. And the Chazon Ish in his famous Kuntres in 1945, the Kuntres Yud Ches Shos, came to the conclusion that Siberia and Australia are divided into two. Now this leads to a very strange paradox, where you could actually have two people that are eating at the same table and they're at two different sides of the dateline and they should be observing Shabbos on two different days. Now one of the Talmidim of the Rosh, his name is Rabbi Yitzhak Yisraeli, he wrote a book called the Yesod Olam. He felt that this could not be correct, that the Baal HaMor's understanding is incorrect, because he couldn't imagine a circumstance that is so absurd that two people are in the same place and they have two different days of Shabbos. So the Chazon Ish, based on the wording of some Rishonim, I'm not sure which, you'd have to read his Kuntres for that, comes to the conclusion that a continuous landmass should belong entirely to one side of the dateline. So for example, in the case of Australia, where the western side belongs to the western side, then even though the rest of Australia, including places like Melbourne and Sydney, are on the eastern side, nevertheless they can be considered on the western side. In effect, the halachic dateline, according to Chazon Ish, is a zigzag. It wraps around landmasses. It goes through the coast and around the coast. And this is going to be true for Australia. It's going to be true for Siberia as well, because Siberia is likewise cut into two, part of which is to the west of the dateline and part to the east. Now again, in terms of Psak Halacha, number one, you have to decide whether you accept the Chazon Ish and you set up the dateline as 90 degrees, then 90 degrees to the east of Jerusalem. Then you have another question, whether you accept the Chazon Ish's Kiddush, that the dateline deviates in a zigzag, towards the east, so that it includes the whole of Siberia and Australia. That's another suffix. Now again, according to Chazon Ish's opinion, that the dateline is at 90 degrees east of Yerushalayim, with the deviation to include land masses, this opinion of the Chazon Ish was not necessarily unanimously accepted. And you'll see in a sefer called Moadim Uzmanim, that the Brisker Rav and Rav Aaron Kotler told refugees in Siberia that there is a doubt as to which day Shabbos should be observed. So that, according to the Brisker Rav and many other poskim accepted that, the landmass of Siberia would be indeed divided into two. Now, according to most poskim, Yerushalayim is the center of the world as a whole, and the prime meridian runs through Yerushalayim. Thus, the date line is located 180 degrees from Yerushalayim. And that's the opinion of the Sefer HaYomim. So this date line now corresponds to 145 degrees west of Greenwich. It runs through Alaska down the Pacific Ocean. And according to these poskim, the Baal HaMor's explanation of HaGemara is not shared by all the Rishonim. Therefore, the location of the deadline of the date line based on the Baal HaMor is not binding. And the exponent of this view was Rabbi Chil Michal Tukachinsky. His view was that we accept, and many rabbinic authorities agreed with him, that the dateline is located 180 degrees from Yerushalayim. And although this doesn't appear anywhere in our Gemara, but nevertheless, as we said, it's implied in the Gemara in Sanhedrin with regard to Tavur Haaretz. So now let's take a look again at these two maps. Maybe now we're a little bit more intelligent. We have the map of the halachic dateline based on the Baal HaMor in the view of the Chazon Ish. And here we'll see that that dateline has Japan to the east. It also seems to have Korea to the east. It has half of Siberia to the east and most of Australia to the east. The Philippines, on the other hand, are to the west, as is Shanghai and Hong Kong and China. On the other hand, if we look at the second map, which is the Tukachinsky map, and he's establishing the dateline as 180 degrees west of Yerushalayim, then what you're going to see is that Japan is to the west, and Korea is to the west, all of Australia is to the west, all of Siberia is to the west. And therefore, if let's say you didn't know in Japan whether you want to paskin like the Chazon Ish or like Rav Tukachinsky, then you're going to be observing 2 days of Shabbos on Saturday and Sunday. According to Chazon Ish, you're already on the eastern side of the dateline. You belong to the next day. And therefore, you're going to have to observe Shabbos on Sunday, because Shabbos is ahead. If, on the other hand, you accept Rav Tukachinsky, then Saturday is going to be Shabbos. Now, Hawaii is a very interesting case, because according to Rav Tukachinsky, Hawaii is actually to the west. Whereas according to the Chazon Ish, Hawaii is to the east. That's really strange, because it means if you're traveling from Hawaii, we don't know what day of the week it is, because according to Chazon Ish, it's on one day, and according to the Rav Tukachinsky, it's on another day. Maybe we'll come back to that a little bit later. Now, having gotten to this point, we can mention, as we have mentioned in the past, that there was one opinion that maybe Shabbos should depend upon Eretz Yisrael, and that those 24 hours should be observed the Shabbos all over the world. However, the Mishnah Lamelech rejects this, and he says even though Shabbos begins in Yerushalayim, it begins in heaven, nevertheless, the Radbaz here is correct. The Radbaz insists that the period of Shabbos is determined by sunset in any particular location under consideration. As you'll see also in the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. And that's the assumption of the Mishnah Lamelech. Shabbos in every given region begins when the sun goes down in that particular spot on Friday night. Now, if we travel further from the desert, from Eretz Yisrael, we become doubtful as to whether or not we have crossed the halachic date line. And therefore, we have all these situations of safek, like we mentioned before, with regard to Japan. We have to identify exactly where the halachic date line is. And Jews today are crossing the globe. They're in and out of these places. And it's extremely important to figure out what day of the week it is and when that day begins and when it ends. So that's where we mentioned the Balamar. We're not going to repeat that again. And we have the opinion of Menachem Kasha that was accepted by the Rabbanim at the time of Rav Herzog back in 1941, postulating that the dateline for halacha is 180 degrees. Now let's just see, is there any map here for Rabbi? Oh yeah, in the map of Rabbi Tukachinsky, so we have 180 degrees west, and that is also equivalent to the international dateline. Again, Rabbi Tukachinsky sees the halachic dateline and the international dateline as overlapping, but he says the halachic dateline is based on a different source. We have to have our own sources. It can't be just the arbitrary decision of the nations of the world. And that source is going to be the Gemara in Sanhedrin, which you flatten the world. Yerushalayim is Tabura Aretz. And therefore you move 180 degrees in each direction. Now maybe at some point we'll get back to the Tshuvas Eretz Tzvi, which is written by the Kazakh lover. But if we talk about one possibility that the Kasuk Lover raises, is that the halachic dateline is actually in Eretz Yisrael. I mean, that's pretty difficult to assume that the dateline was located in a region that was inhabited by Jews of old, because then crossing over the dateline would entail all sorts of new chiyuvim and maybe Shabbos itself. The Gemara never implies that travelers have to deal with these responsibilities. Therefore, it would seem that the dateline is not in a location which was well inhabited by the people, the Jews of old, but rather a location which maybe was not inhabited at all, or if anything, it was inhabited by non-Jews. Okay, so these are the two main opinions, the Chazon Ish and Rav Tukachinsky. The Chazon Ish is 90 degrees to the east of Yerushalayim. Rav Tukachinsky is 145 degrees west of Yerushalayim. That corresponds to 180 degrees from Yerushalayim. And now, let's point out that... What do we want to get into now? Let's say the... We'll discuss, just give me a minute to get oriented here. Oh yeah, there is a statement in Chazal that Eretz Yisrael is gavah mikol arotzos. In other words, that when Hashem created the world, so we'll get an orientation of the globe at that point, when Hashem created the world and set the world in motion. So on the first day, well, let's say on the fourth day he created the sun. The earth is spinning around, the clock is ticking, and at the end of that day, Hashem was finished with just 1 second. I lost my place over here. Sorry, it's a little bit of a Mishka babble here. Yeah, I think I may have it here. Let's see. Okay, where am I? Hashem was finished with the creation of the fourth day. Fine. So that on the third day of creation, as we said before, we enter into the fourth day of creation. Sun was created on the fourth day. Fine. Now, clock is ticking, as we said. At the end of the day, Hashem is finished with the fourth day and he starts the creation of the fifth day. Now, there's one instant that divides the fourth day from the fifth day. At that instant, one spot on the globe was at midnight. One spot was at 6 p.m. One spot was at 11 a.m. and so forth and so on. In other words, although the sixth day lasted for a whole day, there was one spot on the globe in which it became the sixth day first. That spot on the globe marks the first spot in the world to begin the new day. Now, if we could see the orientation of the globe when Hashem declared that the new day had just begun, that would be the, you know, we would see the real dateline. So we just need to find that meridian, which was just at sunset at that instant, and entered into the new day. It would be the first spot in the world to begin the new day. Now, getting back to the Midrashim that referred to Eretz Yisrael as Gavah Mikol Aratzos, higher than any land, what does that mean, that Eretz Yisrael deserves to be distinguished in that way as Gavah, higher than any other lands? And perhaps if we view the world as a globe, with Eretz Yisrael in the center of the upper hemisphere, then Eretz Yisrael is indeed objectively higher than all other lands. Because typically the sun defines the highest point in the sky, which means that when the sun is the highest in the sky, the globe, or that part of the globe, is on top. So during the course of the day, every part of the globe is thus on top for an instant. And at what instant is Israel on top? Naturally, at the first instance of creation. This means that the first instance of time, Israel faced the sun, which means that 90 degrees east of Israel was at sunset. And that must be the location of the real dateline. And that would reflect the opinion of the Rishonim, the Baal Ma'or, the Chazarish, Reb Chaim Brisker, and their poskim. Now there's a sefer, as I mentioned, written by Reb Chaim Tzivin called Hagan HaSar. And this logic appears as the rationale of the Baal Ma'or. The Yesod Olam interprets the psukim to indicate that the sun was situated exactly antipodal to Eretz Yisrael at the instant that it was created. Now, the matter of the dateline is not completely resolved. Some authorities are still convinced that the dateline is 180 degrees from Israel. Majority of poskim hold that the line is 90 degrees east of Israel. So there's a quarter of the world that's in constant doubt of the day. In this doubtful zone, you find Hawaii, Japan, sections, populous sections of Australia, many other islands and cities. So even if we decide that the dateline is definitely not 180 degrees from Israel, nevertheless, Eastern Australia and Eastern Russia would still be in doubt, as we explained above. And that leads us to a discussion about Muktzah L'Chatzi Shabbos. So that's a bit off the main topic. We'll leave that for another day, Mirtz Hashem. And we'll talk about crossing time zones and date lines. And we can talk about fast days when you're traveling across the world. Talk about the Arctic regions, North Pole, the South Pole. We'll talk about Kabbalah Shabbos on Erev Rosh Hashanah. It's a shame we have a whole bunch of issues to discuss. All right, we'll stop here.